Powerful song. Amen. Well, I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Luke in chapter 17. Luke, the 17th chapter. And put your finger there and then go back to Genesis, the 6th chapter. Now, you really shouldn't have too much trouble with either of those. Genesis is a gimme. Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament. I want you to find your place there. We're going to read from Matthew or Luke chapter 17 first, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 6. Luke 17. Verse 22, Luke 17, verse 22. He said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And let's pray, Lord. Again, we desperately need you. We look to your word. We know this is your divine, inspired, preserved word given to us. And we know it is full of truths and principles and precepts we have need of. We thank you that this book shows us the way of salvation. From cover to cover, it's by grace through faith. It's what you've done for us, nothing we do for ourselves. We praise you for that. Now this morning, I need your help. I pray that you would help me to share what you've shown to me. I believe it's the message of the day. And I pray that our hearts would be in tune with your Holy Spirit, that he would be able to do in us and with us that which would please you. There are no doubt unsaved people here today. We don't know the heart of every person here, but in a group this size, we would just think there might be one or several people who have never been born again, never been saved, don't know that heaven's their home. And we're always burdened to see them come to Christ and then bless us as believers. Speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm over in Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read this chapter. I want you to follow along with me. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is become before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven and every living thing that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he. I titled this, Recognizing the Lateness of the Hour. Recognizing the lateness of the hour. Have you ever looked around at what's going on in the world and thought to yourself, what is this world coming to? We often look around and see the changes that are taking place, not just physically, but politically and morally and even in the religious realm. And we're shocked and dismayed. Our natural desire is to see our world get better. But the reality is, things seem to be rapidly going in the other direction. The question, what is this world coming to, is actually answered in the Bible. The world, according to God, is headed for the end. While the events around us may dismay and shock us, the fact is it is all working to bring us to the rapture of the church, the great 7-year tribulation period, the battle of Armageddon, Christ's 1,000-year reign, and the ultimate destruction of the heaven and earth and a brand new heaven and earth created. That's what it's coming to. Now in our scriptures for today, we saw first of all how Jesus prophesies what the end times are going to be like. He says the world will be as it was in the days of Noah. Then in Genesis chapter 6, we've learned about the days of Noah. This morning, I believe we ought not be frightened or discouraged or dismayed by these events that are unfolding around us. Rather, we must learn to discern the times, to recognize that all that is happening is bringing us ever closer to the rapture and the events that are going to follow. This morning, we need to recognize the lateness of the hour. The world, the more our world becomes like the world of Noah's day, the closer we come to that midnight hour or that final tick of the clock. And so today what I want to do is I want to look at the days of Noah, and I want to see some things about those days of Noah and apply it to today. First of all, in the days of Noah, there was a relevant message being proclaimed during Noah's day. In Genesis 6, verses 5 through 7, it says, God saw the wickedness, and it repented him that he had made man. And in verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, God pronounces his judgment. But in 2 Peter 2:5, we find that Noah is referred to as a preacher of righteousness. Now, we read in chapter 6 here how God said man's days were limited 120 years. That's how long God was going to wait until he sent the judgment. He told man. He made the message clear. And so we find, first of all, there was a message being proclaimed that day. Now, man had become totally wicked according to what Genesis 6 tells us. Depravity reigned in the world. God says every imagination of man's heart was just wicked. Godliness and holiness were not even in the thoughts and hearts of man. It was all about pleasing the flesh and the wickedness that man could get into. Sin was rampant. The most vile and wicked practices were accepted as the norm. Nothing in Noah's day was considered as off limits or too wicked. Why? There are many who believe, and I lean towards this in this understanding of that first part of Genesis 6, that evil angels were cohabitating with flesh women, and the offspring was actually a mongrel type offspring. The man had become so wicked, and women were willing to go along with this, and God saw it all, and it repented him that he even made man. And so God purposed to destroy the wicked. He announced he was going to send a flood. He was going to wipe out this generation. But we find this verse, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." God found one man in all the earth who was righteous. And so God takes this man and he calls this man Noah, not just to build an ark. We know he's going to build an ark, but also to carry the message of the impending judgment. For 120 years, he was the preacher of righteousness, Peter tells us. For 120 years, he was warning people, judgment's going to come. You've got to repent. You've got to turn back to God, or you're going to suffer his wrath. It was a message of judgment to all. And it was being proclaimed. And I want to bring you up to this day, and I submit to you that today, God's relevant message is being proclaimed as well. The message today is the gospel message. It's God's message to sinners. Unless we repent, unless the sinner comes to Christ, they are going to suffer God's wrath. And of course, the Bible describes that wrath as eternal separation from God and eternal suffering in the flames of hell. That's the message of today. It's being carried to people today that there is a judgment coming, just like Noah declared. There's a judgment day coming, and you've got to repent. You've got to turn to God, or you're going to suffer the judgment. It's a message of grace. Our message today is that God will save any and all who will come to Christ. God loves us and God is showing us grace. Grace is where He gives us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve to be delivered from hell. But God, by His grace, is willing to give us what we don't deserve. I submit to you today, preachers and evangelists and missionaries and soul winners and tract publishers and Christian radio and Christian TV and Christian billboards and everywhere we can, we're trying to get the message out. There's a judgment coming. You've got to turn to God. Just like it was in Noah's day, the relevant message is being proclaimed. But I want you to notice something else. We find in Noah's day, man's rejection of God's warning. In Genesis 6 and verse 3, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. For 120 years, the truth was proclaimed. For 120 years, Noah went about telling men what God had said. It wasn't Noah's message. Noah didn't go tell people what he thought, what he felt. Noah took the message of Almighty God to this wicked world. And he called on men to repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn back to God's ways. And Noah told them, God says there's a judgment coming, there's a flood coming. And it's going to destroy all flesh. It's interesting, when Noah said that, they really didn't have any idea how this was all going to happen. Yet Noah proclaimed a flood was coming. And it was going to be a universal flood. It was going to be something that would judge all mankind. And as Noah preached that, the world laughed and scoffed. Noah! Where would that much water come from? We have lakes, we have rivers, but where would there ever be enough water to flood this whole earth? That's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. They scoff. That can't happen. And then they looked at this guy Noah and they said, who's this guy that we should believe him? Who's he? Who made him an authority? But you see, Noah wasn't giving them his ideas, his thoughts, his theology. He was giving them the truth of God's Word. And they rejected. And today we have the same situation as it was in the days of Noah. The message is being preached. Judgment's coming. You got to turn to God. You got to come to Christ. And yet rejection is so prevalent by people today. We preach to people their need to repent and come to Christ. We warn them unless they do, they're going to suffer God's judgment. But most put no stock in what we say. How many people look at us and say, well, that's your opinion. That's your theology. That's what your church teaches. And in reality, it's not our opinion, it's not our theology, it's not what our church teaches. It's what Almighty God has said in His Word. And they reject. And many just outright reject God's warning. Oh, I don't believe it. I'm not going to accept it. They prefer to accept their destiny of their ideas of what's going to happen when they die. When we tell people, God says it's appointed of all men once to die. And after this, the judgment. And how many say, oh, I don't believe that. When I die, I'm going to a hole in the ground. And they reject the message of salvation. Many think they're going to be spared God's wrath. In some other way other than the way He's made. How many people reject the message that we take, salvation by grace through faith, and they say, well, I have my own religion. I'm not being critical, but how many times have I heard in this eastern areas, I've knocked on a door and tried to talk to somebody, this statement, no thanks, I'm Catholic. And I've heard this. We have our own church. Friend, I'm not trying to get you into a church. I'm not trying to take you from a church. I'm trying to keep you out of hell. Your church will not save you. No church saves. Salvation is by grace through faith. Religion cannot get you there. By the way, being a good person won't get you there either. How many people, when we ask them this question, if you died right now, do you know you're going to heaven? I think I would. Why do you think God would let you into heaven? If you stood before Him and He said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Oh, I've been a good person. There's a few problems with that. Number one, who's defining good? Are you good in God's eyes? God says there's none good. No, not one. Whose checklist of what's good did you go by? And then whoever told you that God said He was going to let good people into heaven? There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none good. Listen, friend, you'll not escape God's judgment any other way than God's way. By grace, through faith, accepting what He's done, not anything we do. Many think that their good works, their religion, or something else is going to get them into heaven. We think of some of these radicals who think that because they do some jihadist thing that they're going to inherit heaven and virgins and all this mess. And none of that's true. You come God's way or you don't come. We're going to get to this. God made a way in Noah's day. Can you imagine this? Noah's out preaching. There's a flood coming. And unless you come God's way and get in that ark that I'm building, you're going to drown. You're going to be judged. Judgment's going to fall. Can you imagine some of those people thinking, I don't need that ark. I can build my own boat. I wonder if there wasn't some people who tried that. They might have believed in a judgment and a flood, but they said, I'm going to make my own boat. I'll survive. How long do you think one of those boats would survive in that flood? You ever notice the ark is covered? Now, I don't mean to be gross, but with all those animals inside that ark in one window, you'd say, that's not a very good design. Oh, yes, it was. Well, why didn't they just leave the top open? No, no, no. The deluge is coming from heaven, and if that top was open, that boat would have filled up in no time, just like any other boat man built. I don't doubt for a minute there were some people who thought they'd have their own way, and they found out too late it don't work. God's relevant message was being proclaimed. Man was rejecting God's warning. Then the third thing, a resulting judgment of God's wrath, chapter 7, verse 21. Well, verse 20. And 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of the fowl and of the cattle and of the beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. You see, after 120 years, God's judgment came just like He said. His judgment came, and notice it was a sudden judgment. All of a sudden, the skies opened up. The rain fell for the first time. There had never been rain on the earth. We believe there was a canopy of water around this earth that made it such a wonderful place and the way it was at that time. But when God did this, that canopy was poured out on the earth. The fountains of the water from the earth underneath, from the deep, the Bible says, broke forth. And just in a matter of a couple of days, the whole earth is flooded. This wasn't a local flood. Well, some theologians, you know, they say, it was just a local flood and whatever. No. It was 15 feet above the highest mountain on the earth. God flooded the entire world. Think about this. If God would have just flooded with that much water one section of the earth, I believe it would have knocked the earth out of its orbit. That much weight in one place, suddenly, God flooded the entire earth. And I want you to know it was a prophesied judgment just like God said it would be. A worldwide judgment. All men were judged. Only Noah and his family were saved. See, watch this. There was a lot of wickedness in the earth in Noah's day, but probably not every person was as wicked as the next guy. There were probably some nice people in those days, too. But see, this was a complete judgment of all men, anybody who didn't get into that ark. And what I want you to understand is the not so wicked were destroyed with the very most wicked. All men everywhere, anyone who rejected God's message, suffered the wrath. The young died. The old died. The rich died. The poor died. The healthy died. The sick died. Anybody and everybody who rejected that message suffered the judgment. And there was nowhere to hide. There was no escape once the waters began to rise. And the door of that ark got closed. It was too late. And it brings me to this. Countless souls today are going to realize the truth of the gospel message too late. You see, God's judgment message is on all men who refuse to repent. He's offered salvation to anyone who will turn to Him, but those who reject, judgment's coming on them. They are going to suffer the wrath of God. You see, when people have passed from this life and they wake up in hell like the rich man in Lazarus' story, that rich man, we're told, woke up in torment. Then they're going to wish they had listened. Then they're going to wish they had accepted. But it's too late. You see that picture? Have you ever thought about when the flood came and that boat started and the people were treading water, beating on the side of that ark? But it was too late. The offer of grace was done. You see, some today will have put off receiving Christ. Some will reject. And some will say, hey, I'll wait for another day, but you don't know if you're going to have another day. I wonder if some of these people didn't say, well, maybe one day I'll listen to Noah over there. But see, judgment comes that quick. Just like for us, you know, death comes that quick. We never know. We never know if we're going to live another day. And if you die without Christ, it's too late. But I want you to notice this. There was a ready salvation available. We read about it. Before God poured out water out on the earth, He said, but Noah, I want you to make a way of salvation. I want you to build this ark. And here's the size you build it. Here's the dimensions you build it. The ark was designed by God. You know, we've seen several renditions and pictures of the ark. None of them are very pretty. If you read about the dimensions and everything about this ark, it was basically a big barge. It wasn't a beautiful cruise vessel. It was made for the purpose of salvation. And it was made as God saw it needed to be made. And He made it exactly how it had to be to withstand the wrath. It was all by God's design. He didn't tell Noah, build an ark, I'll come back and see it later. He told Noah, you build an ark, here's how you are to build it. And He gave him the specs. It was God's design. It was designed to protect all who bore that ark from the waters of judgment. You see, God told him, you build this ark, and then He said this. He put pitch within and without. If you don't know what that is, we would call it tar today. And what that did was to seal the outside and seal the inside. Why? So no water of judgment could get in the ark. Anyone, anything within that ark was totally sealed from the possibility of judgment touching them. See, Noah didn't have to keep checking every day to make sure they didn't spring any leaks. God already took care of that. You know, it's said of the Titanic, someone made the statement, God Himself could not sink this ship. You know where the Titanic is. Maiden voyage. But God did build a ship that couldn't sink. He sealed it within and without. And there's no way the water could have penetrated that ship because God made sure not a drop of judgment would fall on any who get in the ark of safety. Water couldn't get in, couldn't sink. And we read in chapter 7 how Noah and his family got on board the ark in verses 11 through 16. Understand this, when the rains came and the judgment came, Noah and his family had a place to flee. Noah and his family got into this ark, and in this ark they were secure. We read in chapter 7, look there, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened one day. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird, every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two, of all flesh wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him. And look at this next statement. And the Lord shut him in. They were secure in the ark. Not only was the ark made so that the judgment could not get in, when they got in, God closed the door and sealed the door. And I believe this with all my heart. Noah couldn't have got out of there if he wanted to. Because God shut the door. And God's hand was holding that door shut. And watch this, nobody outside could open it. I don't believe anybody inside could open it. They were secure. You know, there was no deck for Noah to wander around on up there. There was just one window and no way to get up on top of the boat. Noah couldn't fall off. He was in, and God sealed him in, he and his family, and they were secure from the judgment that was judging everybody else on the whole earth. Realize this today, that ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has made a way, only one way, designed by God, made by God, laid out by God, and said, this is the way of salvation. It's in Jesus Christ. Here's the way to escape the judgment that's going to fall on all men. You can escape that by getting in the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ, getting born again, getting saved, accepting Him, not trusting yourself, not trying to do it on your own, coming to God and accepting His grace. It's a picture. This way is designed by God, by grace through faith. And you know, if you'll study your Bible, salvation for man has been by grace through faith from the very front of the Bible all the way to the end of the Bible. There is only ever, throughout the Bible, one way for man to be saved. By grace through faith. Nobody in the Bible ever worked their way to heaven. Nobody in the Bible ever got to heaven on their own merit. It was always by God's grace, by faith. And we see that here. Now, those who come to Christ for salvation are going to be secure in their salvation. I love this. I got saved February 22nd, 1974. What happened that evening was this. I stepped into God's ark of safety. See, before I got saved, I was destined for the judgment that comes on all men. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. eternal separation from God. That's where I was headed. That's what I was in for. But that night, God revealed His truth to me, and I stepped into the ark of safety of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I did, God shut the door. And now I'm secure in Him. People say, "You're saved?" Yes, I'm saved. How'd you get saved? I got in Jesus. I didn't get in church, though that came afterwards. I didn't get saved because I got baptized, though that came afterwards. I got saved by the simple step of faith, believing what God said, that if I would come to Christ, I would be saved, accepting it and acting on it, getting into Jesus. I'm in Him forever. Go to John chapter 10. Here's the ark of safety. Jesus Christ is that ark. We get in Him and we are secure. Judgment cannot touch us. And we cannot fall out of God's grace. We cannot fall out of our ark of safety. Nothing can remove us. Look at John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. That'll drive a Jehovah's Witness crazy. Listen, February 22nd, 1974, I got in the ark of safety. When I did, I got in the hand of Jesus Christ. I'm in Him. And He put His hand around me and He closed His hand. And He said, "You're in Me. You're secure." But you know what happened? When I got in His hand, the Father put His hand around there. And Jesus said, "No man can pluck them out of My Father's hand." See, there's not anything that can remove me. I am secure forever. I have eternal security. What if you sin again? I need to ask forgiveness, but I'm still going to heaven. What if you backslide on God? I'll have to answer for it, but I'm still going to heaven. See, I got born again. I got born into the family. I became a part of God's family. You can't undo a birth. Get that? Nothing can ever undo a birth. I got born into His family and I belong to Him and I will be His child and forever. Amen. As it was in the days of Noah. I bring you back to this. We look at what's going on in the world and sometimes it bothers us. But listen, friend, it's just bringing this world back like it was in the days of Noah. And I think we're there. That hand on the clock, it's approaching that midnight hour. I don't think it's going to be long. And we need to be discerning and recognizing where we are on God's timeline. And when we do, it's going to bring us to this. We don't need to be alarmed. We don't need to be frustrated or discouraged or dismayed. They're the signs. Jesus said we'll see the signs all around us. But number one, what it should do is make us the first. Make sure I'm in the ark of safety. Make sure I've come to Christ and I'm born again. And when that judgment comes, it can't touch me. And number two, if you're already in the ark, if you've come to Christ and you know Him, you need to be busy about trying to get others in the ark of safety. Time's short. We have friends and neighbors and loved ones that we don't want to see suffer the judgment of God. Listen, Noah and his family were saved in that ark. But I can't help but wonder if while they were in that ark, they couldn't hear voices of people they knew and loved crying outside, "Let us in! Let us in!" They had warned them, they had told them, and they rejected. And now there's nothing they could do. It was too late. So let's get busy and do what we can do while there's still time. While there's still hope. That we can get others into that ark. And they can go to heaven with us. And not suffer God's wrath. Let's bow our heads. Just a couple of questions this morning. How many in this room could testify with all assurance, you don't have a doubt in your mind, you are in the ark of safety. You have accepted Christ. You've been born again. You know there's been a time in your life where you realize you were a sinner and you needed a Savior and you're called upon Jesus and He has saved you. You know that. Will you hold your hand up? Hold your hand up. God bless you. Put it down. Maybe you couldn't hold your hand up. I wonder if you would say today, preacher, I've never taken that step. I've heard the warnings. But preacher, I've never come to that place where I've seen the danger and I've really recognized that I needed Christ and I've taken the step of getting saved, getting born again. But I need to today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Anybody in this room? I need to get in today, preacher. I see it's the hour, the clock is ticking and we don't know how much longer we have. We don't think it's going to be long. I want to make sure I'm in that ark of safety. Here's my hand. How many believers would say, preacher, I need to recognize the hour. I haven't really thought much about it, but I see that we are in the last days. I believe that. I have loved ones. I have friends. I have people. I need to work at reaching for Christ and doing my best to get them in that ark of safety. I'm making that commitment today. I'm going to work harder than I've ever worked to try to bring people to Christ. That they won't have to go through the wrath of God. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. Let's stand together. Listen, you need to get saved today. We want you to come. When we have the invitation song, we invite you to come. Maybe you're already saved. Maybe you'll make a commitment. You're going to work harder to get other people saved, to get people in that ark of safety. Want you to come. Maybe you need to be baptized. You've been saved. You haven't been scripturally baptized. Want you to come. We want to help you with that. Join the church. Whatever your need is, we want you to come. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for your warning. Thank you for how you have given this example of Noah in his day. Now help us to heed it. Lord, there's some that need to be saved. There's some that need to be warning others. Whatever the need is, I pray that you'd bring them this morning. Bring them to that place of decision. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Song number
294.
Will you come today as we sing? God, speak into your heart. Will you come today as we sing? Just as I am. Folks are coming. Maybe you need to. God's moving in some hearts around here. The Holy Spirit is squeezing some hearts today. Maybe it's you. Will you come? Will you come? Are you saved? Listen, those people in Noah's day were going about their business like every other day. All of a sudden the deep broke up. All of a sudden the skies broke apart. And the rain came and the flood came that quick. And friend, that's how it can be with us. Our judgment can come that quick. Our day of judgment, we need to be ready. Are you saved? Are you working to get people in the ark? When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus Christ and how they could be saved? When's the last time you gave a gospel tract, knocked on somebody's door, gave a word of testimony? Will you come? Will you come? Sing that last verse of the invitation hymn. God speaking to your heart. Will you come? As it was in the days of Noah, I think we're there. If not, we're so close. Are you recognizing the hour?